This morning on Wake Up with Hope, Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 will be with us to share morning devotional.
Plus, we're sharing 6 ways to find your passion.
And we can't forget that the Let's Pray team will be here with us to pray.
Come along with us.
Good morning, friends, and thank you for waking up with hope.
On this bright winter morning, we want to inspire you to draw close to your family. During this time of year, many people are celebrating the holidays and gathering together to share some old memories and create new ones.
You know, God created the family unit, and family relationships are so important. As you spend more time together, we encourage you to put aside bitterness or any old hurts. Come together. Read the scriptures and share and learn together of Jesus' love. And as you draw closer to Him, you will naturally draw closer to one another.
That's right, friends. This morning we want to share the hope we have in Jesus. Find something from our program today to discuss with your loved ones over this holiday season.
So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1851, one devastating fire at the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. destroyed about two-thirds of its 55,000 volumes, including nearly all of Thomas Jefferson's personal library, which had been sold to the institution in 1815. The fire that ravaged the Library of Congress serves as a reminder that everything on earth is temporary and perishable. Even priceless treasures like Thomas Jefferson's personal library, once carefully preserved, were destroyed in an instant.
You know, Jesus teaches us to store up treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. That's found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. You know, the things of this world, whether they're material possessions, knowledge, or status, will eventually fade away. But the treasures that we lay up in heaven through faith, love, and service to others will endure forever. So friends, today, focus on eternal values, investing on what truly matters, and trusting that God will preserve it for all eternity.
Wonderful. Have you found your passion in life yet? The Incredible Journey joins us now to share 6 ways to find your passion.
This gypsy moth is a famous plane. In 1931, it held the record for flying in the fastest time from England to Australia, smashing the previous records held by the famous Australian aviators Bert Hinkler and Charles Kingford Smith. So how did this little biplane get involved in such thrilling exploits? Well, it all started around 1930, when flying captured the hearts and minds of fearless men and women. There's the Australian Charles Kingsford Smith, who set the record for flying across the Pacific Ocean from California to Australia in his plane, the Southern Cross, in 1928. In the same year, Bert Hinkler, the famous son of Bundaberg in Queensland, was the first aviator to fly solo from England to Australia. Amy Johnson, a young British aviator, wanted to beat Bert Hinkler's record. So in 1930, she flew solo in a gypsy moth from England to Australia in the record time of 19 and a half days. But the first lady of the skies in Australia is Nancy Bird Walton, also known as the Angel of the Outback. At the age of 19, she was the youngest woman in the British Empire to gain a pilot's license. What drove these people to these amazing feats? Well, it was their passion for flying. They all had an intense, almost single-minded focus on flying. They had a purpose that, combined with boundless energy, their skills and willpower to overcome daunting obstacles, allowed them to achieve remarkable flying records. Another person who followed his passion was Ed Field, a former pilot, flight simulator and instructor and examiner for Boeing. He had a passion for planes and in particular the Gypsy Moth. This Gypsy Moth, the record-breaking plane from the 1930s, had been severely damaged in a storm and written off by the insurer. It ended up abandoned in a large farm shed. When Ed heard about the plane, he bought the Gypsy Moth wreck and lovingly restored it to its perfect condition. Here it proudly stands in the Warplanes Museum in Caboolture. This plane was taken from a scrap heap to a place of honour, a tribute to one man's passion for the grand little planes of yesteryear. Now, we all recognise and admire passionate people who follow their dreams with purpose and conviction. So how do we find our passion? How do we find what really sparks our interest and encourages us to conquer insurmountable odds? Well, here are six simple clues that tell you that you've found your passion. One, you really enjoy what you are doing. You can't wait to start your work. Two, you receive positive feedback about what you're doing. Three, you're constantly looking for ways to upskill and improve your knowledge. Four, you lose track of time when you are working on it. Five, you find your activity easy and fulfilling. Six, you get back after a setback and keep going. Paul the Apostle knew what it was like to be passionate about something, to focus on just one thing. He wrote, "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." We're reminded that as we train ourselves to run the race of life, we need to be passionate about keeping our eyes on Christ, the goal, and don't get sidetracked or slowed down. When we do this, the reward will be eternity with Christ in His kingdom. There will be challenges along the way. It's not easy. But if we are passionate and focus on Christ, He will get us through. God never said the journey would be easy, but He did say that the arrival would be worthwhile. Living the Christian life demands all of our energy and focus. So how do we establish a passion for Jesus and remain focused on Him? Well, here are four simple ways to stay focused on Jesus. One, read the Bible and reflect on His teachings and deeds. Two, obey His teachings and guidelines. Three, spend time in praying and communicating with Jesus. And four, share Jesus with others. If you would like to strengthen your relationship with Jesus and be focused and passionate about Him, then I'd like to recommend the free gift we have for you today.
Please visit hope.study for your free gift today. And we also pray that you're finding our program worthwhile. Don't forget to share us with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup for more.
And search for us on YouTube to check out our YouTube channel and keep up with us.
We'll be right back with more.
Welcome back. We're being blessed today on Wake Up with Hope.
It's now time for one of our most favorite parts of our program, prayer. This morning, we invite you to take special hold of the privilege of talking to God as we join the Let's Pray team for special prayer.
Hello, hello, everyone. My name is Season, and I am grateful that we have a chance to pray together today. The topic for today is thanking God for the gift of life. This is a big deal because personally, I feel like everything about Jesus is about life. It says in the Bible that, I think it's in 1 Corinthians 15, Don't quote me on that, family, but it's in Corinthians. It talks about the fact that if there's no resurrection, if there's no life, then all of the rest of it is pointless. And I think that that life starts way early on when he is knitting us together. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 139, 13 through 14 says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." And while this verse can resonate so deeply with many in our community, if there has been maybe some traumatic childhood experiences, maybe there are some things that happened in your life where you're not so sure about that. You're not able to maybe connect to that. So I want to pray today, not just for those that are grateful and thankful, but for those who struggle to connect to this concept of the gratitude for the life that we've been given. Family, it's all right to admit that you're struggling through this. And I want to pray for you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of life. There was a time in my life when I was not that grateful. But first, Father, for everyone within the sound of my voice whose heart rejoices at the thought of the gift of life that you have given us, that intimacy of being knit together by you, Lord, and for all of the beauty that that implies, Heavenly Father, thank you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for helping us to be able to connect to the concept of this gift that we've been given, Father. And I thank you, Jesus, that I'm in a place where I no longer reject that life. Heavenly Father, for everyone in this community where it's not necessarily a joyous thing right now, Lord, I pray for your ministry, your reconciliation to the gift of life, Heavenly Father, for all of those within the sound of my voice, whether presently or in past, Father, have in their heart, they've turned from that gift of life, Heavenly Father. Jesus, I pray that you would forgive us. Lord, forgive us for rejecting the gift that you've given. And Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would refresh us with your forgiveness, Lord, and that you would bring new life in that area and help us as a community, Jesus, to receive the revelation that you have of being the life giver, the truth of who you are, Father, that all of it is about life. Lord, you came not just to die, but so that we might live. Jesus, you could not stand the thought of eternity without your kids. So you went through everything you did, Jesus, so that we might live and be reconnected with you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for ministering to the deep hurts that cause us to turn away as children or adults from this life. Sometimes, Lord, we pull away in wounding, Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that we would begin to open our arms and our hands again, that we would begin to let down some of those walls, those of us who have been hurt and might be hurting today, Jesus. Lord, we want to say thank you, maybe for the first time in a long time, for life. Thank you for our life, Jesus. Lord, we know that there is deep struggle in this community for many. And I praise you, Lord, that you're not done with us yet. Father, thank you for everyone who's able to lend their joy and lend their faith for the goodness and the hope that your gift of life brings, Jesus. And for everybody who's not able at this point, or maybe just is for the first time today, able to connect to that once again after a long time, Father, thank you, Jesus, that they're lending that strength to us, Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you for being everything that I'm not, and for taking these words and making them what my hope is that they're saying for this community. Thank you for your life, and thank you for a chance to start again today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. God bless you, family.
Amen. We have a devotional message now from Jesus 101 coming up right after this short break. Now, don't forget to visit us at hope.study to grab your free Bible studies today. Don't turn the channel. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. We are so happy you're here.
It's now time for our devotional thought. Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 will be bringing it to us this morning.
Perception is the interpretation of reality. And sometimes we have a faulty perception. We're not sure if something is good or bad. I remember when I was 12 years old, my father went to study to Andrews University. And my mother crocheted some things that I could sell in the village around the university. And I would go to every house, and sometimes somebody would buy one item or so. And my mother would wait outside in the car. But one time, this lady was very interested. She asked me to take everything out of the bag, and I did. And I still remember the whole bag was $55, the total. And this is many, many years ago when I was 12 years old, obviously. And this lady said, okay, I'll take it. And say, which one? And she goes, all of it. And I was like, you're going to take everything that is in my bag, all $55 worth? And she said, yes. And then she gave me a little paper called a check, which I was not too familiar with because in Argentina, we didn't use a lot of that. And so I was like, did I do good or not? I left everything in my bag and she gave me a piece of paper. So I ran out of the car to the car where my mother was. And I was like, oh. And she goes, how'd it go? I said, I don't know. Do we take checks? And she goes, yes, we take checks. Why? I said, I sold everything. She goes, what do you mean? I said, I sold all $55, which was a lot of money for us. First, I was like, maybe this is bad news. She gave me a piece of paper. But then my mother said, oh, yeah, this is the same as money. And I was, we sold everything. I still remember she gave me a little commission. It was a big deal for us, those $55 so many years ago. Sometimes we're not sure. Is it good news or bad news? And God makes a point to guide us to the right understanding of things. And even when we don't fully understand, he still guides us because he's in control of situations. In this story, the disciples are very confused. They don't know if what has happened is bad news or good news. Actually, they think it's bad news. And Jesus will guide them, will meet them where they are, and will help them in this journey of perceptions. Perception. There is a lot of journeys in the Gospel of Luke, and they're not just geographical journeys. They're actually journeys of perception, usually in a greater understanding of the situation, sometimes from the head to the heart, which is the longest journey all of us have to go through. So let's go to Luke chapter 24. Jesus has died on Friday, and now this is Sunday. And he has risen from the dead, but the disciples don't know that. So two of the disciples are going to a village named Emmaus, Luke 24 on verse 13. It starts, behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached. Now, he has risen from the dead. They don't recognize him. And he said to them, verse 17, what are these words that you're exchanging with one another as you're walking? And at that moment, they stood still, looking sad. I have a picture in my office here in our studios. It's a beautiful picture, and I want to show it to you. It's the road to Emmaus. It's Jesus walking with the two disciples, starting to explain that there is a different view of what they know. They think that he has died and that this is the end, but there's a different perspective. They think they have lost everything, but Jesus is going to tell them, I have gained everything for you. So let's keep reading. They stopped, and one of them named Cleopas, verse 18, says, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and aware of the things which have happened here in these days? And Jesus answered on verse 19, what things? I always thought that this was Jesus' sense of humor. What things? Has something happened here this weekend, these last days? But then I realized that Jesus gave them an opportunity to give their version of the story, to tell him what they saw, their viewpoint. And so one of them, he said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet. And then they said, and they crucified him. And we were hoping that he was going to redeem Israel. You know, I found several obstacles here in their mindset, in their perception. they have a limited perception. They're only calling Jesus a prophet, and Jesus was so much more than a prophet. They have this finality. They crucified him. This is the end. When Jesus had told them many times that he would rise from the dead, but they don't remember that. So limited perception, finality, the regret. We were hoping he would redeem Israel in verse 21. But he had redeemed the whole world and he was standing in front of them. But of course, they couldn't see that. And then lastly, their unbelief. They said to Jesus, verse 22, also some women among us amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and they did not find his body. They came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. They had this unbelief. They were told that they'd seen angels and that Jesus was risen from the dead and they couldn't believe. So in their summary, it was, we lost everything. But Jesus says, wait a minute, let me explain this viewpoint. I always tell people that even when you don't understand God's hand, you got to trust his viewpoint, because there's another way to look at the situation. Sometimes we don't see it. And in this case, Jesus will explain it through the cross. He will say to them, no, I gained everything for you. And he guided them to a better understanding. Verse 25, same chapter. He said to them, oh, foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? It was necessary. You couldn't see it, but look at it through the cross. This was a plan. It was necessary. And look what he did. This is what Jesus did. Beginning, verse 27, with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. He took the Old Testament, all the scriptures, started with Moses, which means that he started from Genesis. The first five books are called the books of Moses, the law or the Pentateuch, the Torah. And he went over everything and says, see, remember this? It was talking about me. Remember the Passover lamb? It was about me. Remember the crossing of the Exodus? It was about me. The whole thing was a testimony that I was coming to die in your place. All the prophets, the Psalms, the law, they were all about me. And then it says that their hearts started burning. You can read the story. It's fantastic. Started burning because they started understanding. Then they ran back to the rest of the disciples, and Jesus met them there too. And he gave the same speech to the rest of the disciples in verse 44. And he said, all the things that were written about me in the law and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds that they could understand scripture. It was all a plan, Jesus said. It was a plan, and I fulfilled it. So put these glasses on and trust me, even when you don't understand, because heaven has a plan to redeem. And you know, when I was going through hard times in my life, I had a motto. I don't know the master plan, but I know the master planned it, and I am included. So trust God to guide you. Even when you don't understand, like the song says, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart, because he has a plan to redeem you, and he fulfilled the plan. He has saved you. So when you don't understand what's happening in your life, remember this. You're being guided. You are guided. So trust him. Put on those spiritual glasses and say, I'm going to trust my Savior who has the big plan and has fulfilled it. You are guided.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for blessing us this morning.
And friends, thank you for spending time with us. And if you would like to learn more about us or share us with a friend, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to wake up with us tomorrow morning. We'll be talking about the meaning of Christmas, sharing a story about a Christmas truce, and we'll have music to inspire you and more. You are sure to be blessed, so don't miss it.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought, and you would like to learn more about God's amazing plan, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study for your free Bible study guides. Also, check out the website. We are sure you'll find something for you.
And before we go, we want to share with you a Bible promise. And it says,
I tell you the truth, anyone who obeys my teaching will never die. John 8:51.
Amen. That's straight to the point. What a beautiful and simple promise. As we obey the teachings of Jesus, as we welcome Jesus as the Lord of our lives, he promises eternal life to us. So friends, Open your Bible today and see what he's asking you to do. You're going to be blessed.
Amen. Well, we've had a wonderful time on today's program, and we pray that you have truly felt God's love and care for you.
Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you so much. Our hearts have been blessed. What a beautiful blessing to enjoy as we continue on with our day. I know that many of us are already with family during these holidays, and we pray that you would give us the joy of heaven in our hearts. And we thank you for answering our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.